Welcome to the Author Factor Podcast, where we break down exactly how smart business owners and corporate leaders leverage the powerful advantage of being a published book author. I'm your host, Mike Capuzzi, and you're in the right place if you want profitable nonfiction book writing tips. Welcome back to another insightful episode of the Author Factor Podcast. My guest today is Lorraine Ball, an entrepreneur, author, and professional speaker with four books to her name. Lorraine has dedicated her career to demystifying marketing for the everyday entrepreneur, and today we'll focus on her book, The Science of Marketing, a practical guide designed to navigate the complexities of marketing for new business owners. Lorraine, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I appreciate your time today. So, Lorraine, why don't you share with our listeners a little bit more about your background and then what you're doing today to serve your clients?
So, I have done a lot of things over the years. I actually started as a school teacher way back in the day, shifted into marketing, did a run through corporate because everybody has to have those painful corporate years. And then about 25 years ago, I started a digital agency. Actually, back then, it was a traditional marketing agency. The world changed around me, ran a digital business, sold that. And today, I teach at a local university, and I have actually come full circle, and I'm back doing individual consulting with business owners, kind of that health check on their business and health checks on their marketing. And now I have a network of people I can refer them to, so I don't actually have to do the day-to-day anymore. And I have a podcast, which I've had for a very long time.
Really? How long, just out of curiosity?
January 2010.
Okay. Before it was probably even known as a podcast. Was it even known as a podcast back then?
It was in that time where we were switching from what was called internet radio to podcasting. And actually, in the early days of the show, if you could imagine, it was a live call-in show.
So it really was radio.
It really was radio. And then we would record it and we published it through a podcast hosting site and learned very quickly that live radio is tough.
Yeah.
And the other thing that you learn and the thing that I love about podcasting is that not everybody has 30 minutes of content. Some people have 10, some people have 40. And when you let go of the constraints of traditional radio, you have that flexibility with podcasting. Mm. So I've had a lot of fun and great source material for my books.
Very good. And speaking of books, correct me if I'm wrong, you've published four books. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. The Science of Marketing, Business Map, Lessons from a Networking Junkie, and the most recent one is More Than a Few Written Words.
Very good. So we're going to talk about, I guess, your first book, The Science of Marketing. Mm-hmm. How long ago did you publish that?
I think the first edition of that was probably 2004.
Okay, so very good. So it's been around for, 20 years. That's great. Yeah.
And it was originally, I was running a marketing consulting business, and somebody told me if I was going to be a consultant, I had to write a book, that's what would give me credibility, that would be something I could take to my speaking engagements. And so I wrote a book.
Very interesting. Let's dive into this. So that was 20 years ago. That was before, Amazon existed, but it was probably before KDP, which made it, my first book was 2007, and I know how difficult it was to publish that book. It was still self-published, but, I had to print up 3,000 copies, yada, yada, yada. But, you did, not only did you start your podcast sort of in the early days, but self-publishing early. Was it self-published? I'm assuming it was self-published.
Oh, hell yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So very interesting. It was also very interesting that 20 years ago, you get the same spiel that I share today, which is the importance of differentiating yourself by being a published author. And let's talk about that. If you can recall way back then, Was it just simply other people, you know, did you have this desire to do this, or was it just you knew, you thought that this would be the best track for you to get out there and get your name recognized?
So the reality is I've never thought of myself as a writer. I have four books now, and I have never thought of myself as a writer. I have thousands of blog posts that I have authored. I have articles that I have written for magazines and publications. And if on any given day you'd say to me, Lorraine, are you an author or are you a writer? I'd be like, oh, hell no. No, no way. I'm sorry. Should I not have said that?
No, you're fine.
Okay. It's not how I think of myself. I am a talker. And so when I was looking at what did I want to do, I wanted to do speaking engagements. I wanted to talk to groups of business owners, and talking with friends and people I respected, they're like, well, this, having this book will give you something to use as an opener for those presentations. It will give you credibility. Take what you know and put it down. And it was a very painful process because I tend to be a little bit more random in my thinking. And so the idea of structuring it, but once I had that book, oh my gosh, I sent copies to lots of the, I had come out of the heating and air conditioning industry. I had a lot of contacts with distributors around the country that were running dealer meetings. I sent them copies of the book. I got invitations. I would give the book to prospective clients for the agency. And it was written as a book slash workbook. So it was a great tool. And yeah. And then when I started blogging regularly, I had 15 or 16 blog posts pre-written now, didn't I?
Right, right. 20 years later, are you still, I think I know the answer based on our conversation before we hit record, but are you still using this book?
I actually updated it. And okay. And what's on Amazon now, because well, you're going right. to laugh, there were things in that book that don't make any sense anymore. And there really wasn't a lot about digital marketing. Now, the book is really, the science of marketing is really about the foundational things. And I will tell you that my attitude is that marketing has not changed in 50 years. Okay. The toys, the tools have changed. But what makes good marketing, a focus on the customer, clear definition of who you are, that's all still entirely valid. So I updated it because now I can use KDP. And I republished it on KDP. So that's been fun. I don't remember, because it's a different edition, I'm not sure I actually tag it back to the original 2003 copyright date. It gets a little wonky sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was going to say, I have a big marketing library, and a lot of the books are from the 1940s, 50s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s. And it's funny to hear you say, well, some of the tools or toys have changed. So you probably wrote about Yellow Page ads 20 years ago, maybe not so much in 2024. But you're spot on, Lorraine, when it comes to, and it's a very important thing. I was just talking yesterday with a woman who's really becoming an expert in the world of AI, right? So you and I both know what's coming with that, right? And what the opportunities are there. And she's a traditional, she's been doing stuff for decades, but she's pivoting and now starting to focus more of her time on AI. But she said, it's still the focus on the fundamentals of clear communication, what's in it for them, good offers, clear language, all the stuff that and that good marketing consists of, but it's just a new toy, if you will, perhaps a more profound one, but yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. So,
I mean, when you're talking about AI and people are talking about writing entire books with AI, and while I think there is a place for AI, one of the things that I'm seeing is there's a lot more content out there and a lot of it is crap. And so taking your manuscript and giving it to AI and asking it to fluff it, to give it a little extra content, to fill in some of the blanks? Yes. Starting with an AI outline and then writing to that outline? Yes. Turning the entire process over? No, you're going to read like the same generic crap everybody else is churning out.
It has that potential. And a lot of, I've read in the last month or so, because I have Kindle Unlimited, which is where you can download books from Amazon. Don't have to pay for them, the ones that are available. And I've read probably 10 or 15 books that are around, you know, AI for marketing, AI for business. 99% of them are written by AI. You know, you can spot them a mile away. And it's sort of annoying. But this idea of what you're sharing of, you know, the combination, though I will say what you're going to start hearing more and more about, and it's already out there, is really customizing, say, ChatGPT with your content, your language, your voice, uploading all your books to it, which is now possible. And now the content that's created definitely sounds more like Lorraine or Mike versus ChatGPT, if you will. But I digress. This is not an AI discussion, but being two old-time marketers, and I say that affectionately, you know, it's interesting to see what's on the horizon there. So let's go back to your author journey. So first book was 2003, 2004. Just out of curiosity, your most recent book was when?
The most recent one I released last year. It's called More Than a Few Written Words. And actually, the best part of More Than a Few Written Words is I wrote very few of them. What I did for that one is and this is kind of a fun step in my author journey. It is actually a collection of essays written by people who were guests on my podcast. And so what I was able to do with that book is bridge the podcast with my writing to create something that had real authority that positioned me as both an expert and a connector. Every one of my authors played really well on social media. I spent a lot of time, you know, this is the new world. I didn't have this when I wrote the first book. I spent a lot of time creating social share graphics in different sizes to promote each of my authors, which they in turn used to promote the book. I introduced all the authors to each other virtually. And a year later, they're still guesting on each other's podcasts, collaborating on articles. And you know what? They always tag me when they do.
Interesting. Did you, just out of curiosity, because again, I had another conversation yesterday with another gentleman about, I've got 200 plus episodes of this podcast. I have tons of articles, like yourself, lots of articles and stuff I've done in the past. And I thought, you know, how can I turn this into a book? And I know how to. I'm interested now, just for my own clarification, did you have them write something or did you take the transcripts and have those sort of massaged?
What I did is I reached out to a bunch of my guests and I had 18 that responded. And I think 18 is a lucky number. So I stayed with 18. 18 of them responded. I said, you can write a new article. If you want, I will send you the transcript of our interaction. You can use that as a starting point. I would say that most of them wrote new articles, and then I invited them back to be podcast guests again. So it's just to me, that was a logical next step in the authority journey. I mean, you know, that's what your podcast is all about, is it's using what you're writing to build your authority and credibility. For me, that was a logical step to position myself to promote the podcast, because the podcast is more than a few words. The book is more than a few written words. It was a great way to establish credibility for that, to say thank you to a lot of these wonderful people I've gotten to know over the years and create something of value.
Very good. Yeah, I've published several, I call them compilation books and anthologies. And yes, they do have serve their purpose. And, you know, this idea of crafting a book that gets a lot of different people's input versus a single author, you know, obviously there's some appeal to that depending on the topic. So very good. So just out of curiosity, your 20-year author journey, are you done or are there still more in the future?
I think there's still more in the future. I still blog regularly. So I am still, I'm not blogging at the volume that I was blogging at in the early days, but there's still so much to write about. So I still do that. So I think there is another book. Well, there will be at least one more compilation because I have a lot more people that want to play. And so I'm going to do that. But I think there is another book there. I am still, you know how you have kind of ideas that float around in your head. Maybe I'll write about this, maybe I'll write about that. The thing I think I'm leaning towards is a little bit around this idea of overlaying traditional marketing on all of the new tools and finding at the core kind of, that balance of yes, technology can do this and do this and do this. Where do the people play? And I think that's maybe where I want to go next.
Very interesting. Yeah, and it's a sort of a natural evolution for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love to hear, because your experience, which spans years, which is impressive. Any word of warning to someone who might be listening to this conversation right now, who has yet to write that first book, or maybe they're working on it, but something that would be a cautionary sort of, hey, think about this before you do it, or don't make this mistake. Anything you'd want to share there, Lorraine?
Well, one of the not mistakes, but one of the painful lessons I think we learned back then before KDP was the vanity publishing of way too many copies of the book in order to get started, and you don't have to do that anymore. I think you need to know why you're writing the book. Are you expecting that this is going to be a bestseller and you're going to make money from the book? Or are you writing it as the key to open up other doors? How you put the book together, how you plan your rollout and your marketing is going to vary tremendously. Too many people that I have met over the years write the book, start out thinking, well, it's going to be this key to my journey. And then they have it and they think, oh, wow, this is really wonderful. And I'm going to sell this. They forget that what they were trying to do was open doors for speaking engagements, open the eyes of prospective clients, and their investment is off. Where they're putting their emphasis in marketing is all wrong. And then what they end up with is they don't sell enough copies to make it worthwhile. And they also don't close enough sales.
You're again spot on. There is a distinction, and when we work with clients, we help business owners, publish books. And one of the very first steps is always getting that clarification of the author's goal. And for our clients, it's never about making money by selling the book, right? That's gravy if you're lucky enough to. We've had clients that have sold thousands of copies of their book, but that wasn't the intention. It was always about the conversation starter and using the book as that conversation starter. I can't not ask you, since you're a marketing expert, is there any marketing tips that are promotional tips when it comes to someone writing a book that they should be thinking about these days?
So I Seth Godin, who wrote The Idea Virus along with a lot of other social media things, did something really interesting that I think was really smart. And he was doing this probably 15 or 20 years ago. He'd write a book, but then he would publish one chapter a week, and you could download the one chapter for free. So you could read his whole book if you were patient for free. And of course, some people did, but way more people would then buy the book. And I really love the idea of giving people a real taste, a using the content that you've created and sharing bits of it that leave the audience wanting more. Instead of holding it tight, go, no, you got to read the whole thing. No, you know what? Again, what am I trying to do? Why do I have this book if the book is to demonstrate my expertise, then demonstrate it.
Yeah, I love that. You're the second guest out of over 200 episodes that has mentioned that idea. I had a lawyer who did the same strategy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just the way you said it there, Lorraine, I'm like, damn, why am I not doing that? Because, you know, again, if you do it, if you think about it, maybe, and it doesn't maybe have to be verbatim that chapter, depending on the length mm-hmm. of the chapter, but it's still, it's a very interesting strategy just to sort of drip that out. So yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. That was very insightful. I appreciate that.
Awesome. Well, and you're a podcaster, so turn a chapter into a podcast episode. Turn a section of it. You have this fabulous source material. Give it to ChatGPT and tell it to break it up into little pieces.
Sure, absolutely, right. Yep, yep. So, Lorraine, as we get ready to wrap up here, I'd love to hear your, you know, your thoughts on what it has meant to Lorraine Ball to be a published book author.
I would say of all the things that it did in the early days when I wasn't quite sure, I knew marketing. I wasn't perhaps as confident as I should have been about my skills and my expertise. And we all suffer from a little bit of imposter syndrome. And more than anything else, in the early days, when I could approach someone about speaking at a conference, when I was at a networking event talking about what I did, and I could casually say, well, yeah, you can get a copy of my book. May I send you a copy of my book? I did not have to tell you. I did not have to go on ad nauseum about my degrees, about my years of experience, about anything. That phrase, can I send you a copy of my book, helped me feel very confident, but also helped elevate who I was in the eyes of an audience that was not yet familiar with how spectacularly brilliant I truly was.
That is awesome. I love it. I love it, Lorraine. So where is the best place for our listeners to learn more about you, get your books, mm-hmm. all that good stuff?
So I would say, number one, connect with me on LinkedIn. Because if you follow me on LinkedIn, you can get little bits of greatness all the time. My podcast is More Than a Few Words, and the website, morethanafewwords.com. You'll find a link to my to the latest book, and you can find the rest of them on Amazon. I'm working on rebuilding my author page, kind of working backwards now, because my big push was definitely in the last year. I wanted to push the newest book. So now it's time to rebuild. But yeah, you'll find all of that on morethanafewwords.com, and check with me on LinkedIn.
Very good. Well, Lorraine, thank you for your time today. I do appreciate it.
My pleasure. This was fun.
Well, that wraps up another episode of the Author Factor podcast. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on Apple iTunes. Subscribe, tell a friend, and go grab the notes and extras at theauthorfactor.com. And to learn more about my unique short book publishing services, please check out bitesizebooks.com. See you next time.